blackbird fly into the light of a dark black night.
Hi, this is Ruth, and we're learning the birds. Sensible people stay out of the muck. They don't tramp through bogs or marshes for perfectly sensible reasons. There are snakes, bugs, and who knows what, and likely there is muck aplenty. But people who hanker after certain birds will soon enough be hunkering down in some marsh or soggy bottom. Bog sitting, as it is sometimes known, is the best way to see bog-dwelling birds, such as rails, gallinules, or bitterns. And one of the best reasons to travel through the muck and sit in a bog is the chance to come across an American bittern. You may hear a bittern before you see it, and if you do, you can be forgiven for thinking that sound is evidence of some sort of natural plumbing dilemma, for it is a most unusual sound. People have bent over backwards trying to describe the American bittern love song. It's been compared to the sucking of an old-fashioned wooden pump. An old nickname for the bird is Thunder Pumper. Plunk alunk is one interpretation. Plunk alunk, plunk alunk. Plum Puddin' is another. Plum Puddin', Plum Puddin'. There's an odd acoustic property to the sound that makes distance and location difficult to estimate. A sharp note in the middle rings out like a hammer on a nail. For this, the bird is also called the stake driver. American bitterns are large birds, but difficult to see. More than 2 feet tall with a wingspan of 42 inches, bitterns are covered in bold vertical stripes of brown, cream, and tan, a pattern that renders them invisible in reedy habitats. Add to this a tendency to stand impossibly still, and you begin to see how even a bird as big as an American bittern can effectively disappear. This bird is found across most of North America at one time or another, wintering in the south, summering in the north, and making a leisurely migration between the two. Strictly carnivorous and generally found in wetlands, bitterns do venture onto higher, drier ground for grasshoppers, frogs, and garter snakes. Back in the bog, they eat catfish, crayfish, eels, and salamanders. The least bittern is found in the eastern U.S., half as large and with half the stripes of its American cousin. Bitterns stand with their beak pointed straight up, still as a fence post, using those vertical stripes in the neck to mimic the shapes and shadows of reeds and grass, completing the trip from visible to invisible. When it does move, a bittern moves no faster than a minute hand on a clock, a pace so deliberate its prey never sees it coming. One quick lunge and the deed is done. This clever hunting style may be what Thoreau was thinking when he called the American bittern the genius of the bog, or perhaps he referred to that truly remarkable sound. This is apparently not an easy sound to make, for the bittern must pump its head up and down convulsively, as though the poor bird was about to be sick. But what appears to be bittern distress is really bittern passion. Any bird capable of making such an incredible sound is well worth seeing and hearing, even if you have to get down into the muck to find one.
Learning the Birds is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Ruth Beasley of Canadian, Texas.